this political coliseum, we slay the rising beast with the fateful sword of truth that transcends hypocrisy and censorship. It's time to unleash yourself from the tyrants of media propaganda on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. This is Unleashed, the Political News Hour.
This is Unleashed, the Political News Hour on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. I'm Chris Cordani, behind the mic for this edition. Find me on X at 10% for the big... Wait a minute, that's not right. It's really at Chris Cordani 1. That's at Chris Cordani 1. That's me on X at Chris Cordani 1. The left continues its assault on our culture from entertainment to our language and through a plethora of institutions. And yes, El Guapo, I know what plethora means. With me later on in the program to talk about this is Julie Beeling. She's the director and writer of the new documentary and a wake-up call to sensible minds, Beneath Sheep's Clothing, the communist takeover of culture in the USSR and parallels in today's America. That documentary is coming in May. Julie is coming in about 12 minutes. The Marxists have played the long con. Now the likes of George Soros, Klaus Schwab, and the deep states of the US and the EU are reaping the benefits until we take them back. And yes, there's hope for the future. We have a cunning plan. One thing which needs to end, though, is, well, while we make fun of these tizzy liberals all the time, the mainstream left and the mainstream media use mockery to deflect and poke false holes into legitimate arguments. Case in point, while I'm not a fan of her approach, you have to like Marjorie Taylor Greene. The Democrats and media types enjoy painting her as the Republican answer to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, but they're far from each other, if you really think about it. Lefties continue to be outsmarted by this woman. It's true. It always happens. Time and time again. The latest was her telling congressional... First off, you remember the State of the Union. Well, the latest was her telling congressional colleagues to explore the ideas of potential criminal or perhaps terrorist activity after the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse as the result of that cargo ship crash. And you know, the one which mysteriously lost power a couple times beforehand. When Green brought this up on the congressional floor, that we should be open-minded to an investigation, she was mocked. Mocked, I tell you, by the Dems. Now fast forward to this week. As you know, a barge nearly hit an Oklahoma bridge shortly after the Key crash. A cargo ship nearly hit the Verrazano Bridge in New York City not long after the Key crash. We now have an FBI investigation into the Key Bridge collapse. All the Dems call her dumb, but as she continues to outwit them, Marjorie Taylor Greene, you gotta love her, what does that say about the Dems? I suppose it says a lot because even Joe Biden thinks we're morons. Well, perhaps he thinks enough people are. Listening to him campaign with claims he lowered the deficit, forgetting he raised it again afterwards, of course. He brags about this, and it's worse. And keep in mind, the deficit's not the number that matters. It's the national debt, and he's wreaked havoc on that. He continues to resort to bribery. The big guy wants to, despite the excessive spending, debt, and inflation, keep pandemic-level overspending. That's right. Pandemic-level overspending. That pandemic. I'm getting Biden disease, apparently. That makes no sense. And only this whole overspending here only serves to kneecap the U.S. overall. And we can talk about why a little bit in the future, because we have done this before on this program. I'm going to keep that theme going. But during a recent campaign rally in Scranton, and this will continue, by the way, Biden injected the train clamping seals there with lies about Trump's pandemic policies. First, he decided to reinforce that lie media simpletons spread, claiming Trump said to inject bleach to combat COVID.
Meanwhile, when the pandemic hit, Trump failed the most basic duty any president owes the American people, a duty to care and a duty to respond. Remember when he told us, don't worry, this will all be over by Easter. Remember when he told us, literally, inject bleach.
Next, He used his tired line only a minimally exceptional individual could believe by blaming the Democrat-extended lockdown-induced job and financial losses on Donald Trump. Trump's the guy who tried to reopen the country and re-strengthen the economy.
Because he failed to care, not only did people die, but millions of Americans lost their jobs, their homes, their livelihoods. On Trump's watch, in the 4 years he was president, we lost nearly 3 million jobs were lost. 275,000 of those jobs lost right here in Pennsylvania. In the Scranton area, Trump lost 17,400 jobs. 180,000 manufacturing jobs lost nationwide.
As Biden continues to take credit for the jobs coming back, the train-clapping SEALs do not seem to understand that Biden's recovery came about a year or two too late anyway. That's all thanks to his policies kneecapping our economy. The man actually brags on the campaign trail about hiring 87,000 more IRS auditors. I don't know anybody who thinks they can get political points from anybody except train-clapping SEALs by bragging about hiring 87,000 more IRS auditors. This is the same time he also said we can look into Venmo and PayPal transactions that are around $600. We're going to peek into your accounts because we can. And then he screams, he's coming for your money and your social security. The clapping SEALs may fall for all of this, but we're not. Joe Biden's Brewster's Millions, I will buy your vote strategy may crack us up. But if allowed to pass, it's going to cost taxpayers another boatload of money. Don't let the crazy liberal friend that you have try to tell you, but we can print that money to make up for it. That's part of how we got into this mess right now. Biden's desperate to stay in power, yes, but worse, he and his deep state handlers want to bankrupt this country and kick back the money they own while creating a larger and permanent dependent class here. Eloy, if you will. Even if people like this idea of student loan forgiveness that he keeps talking about, why would anyone want to foot the bill for millions of these activist studies majors out of what have become for-profit diploma mills these days? I say solve the problem. His forgiveness is not solving anything because it's going to keep worse and people are still going to need forgiveness later on. The cost of college is the problem. My plan, I call it the Chris Cordani College Education Act of 2024, submitted for your approval or disgust, goes as follows. Follow me here. I want to know what you think. Leave comments, whatever you want to do. I'd like to know what you think. Here are the provisions of the Chris Cordani College Education Act of 2024. 1. Slash the bloated administrative patronage positions. Does every university need a full army of paper pushers who are generally pals of political allies of the president or boosters? Well, these department heads, these administrative department heads are always the pals, and they get these bloated salaries because of that. 2. Dismantle the very expensive DEI diversity department arms of these schools. I'm so old, I remember when colleges and universities were touting their excellence and academic quality. That's from the 90s on forward, though. It was all about how diverse the campus is. Very little, if any, mention of quality of education or the degrees coming out of there. And there's good reason why. As we regressed in the 2020s here, the bloated DEI departments are taking mounds of the students' tuition monies. And for what? A pat on the back from activists and Dems? A high virtue signaling credit score? Trim this fat. 3. Get rid of the high-salaried PC activist studies professors who do nothing more than indoctrinate impressionable minds and lead them to believe a Master's of Inclusion degree will bring them a six-figure salary as soon as they hit the job market. These professors and their institutions are stealing money from students and their families. And forget student loan forgiveness. Have these diploma mills issue refunds to those underwater kids for misleading them into believing their expensive and useless degrees will amount to anything, and that taxpayers should be refunded as well to a degree. What are your thoughts on that? That's the Chris Cordani Higher Education Act of 2024. Send that one to your congressman. Wow, NPR is biased? Well, that's a new one. Still, a salute to Yuri Berliner. He's the guy that blew the whistle on the taxpayer-funded propaganda machine. His editorial exposing their leftist bias has sent a shockwave through the organization and left its systems architects and overseers in a collective tizzy. That's fun to watch. It's also nice to watch the CEO, Catherine Morris, squirm a bit in the sycophants running defense. Yes, anyone who has heard and read NPR's material can see how biased they are. It's just not presented as bombastically as, let's say, MSNBC, CNN, or the major clickbait networks, channel bait, whatever, remote control bait, headline bait. They're NPR is soft-spoken and believed to be harmless. So that's why they're more harmful. They talk in this NPR voice, and they say, and people seek NPR because that, not that it makes them smarter, but it makes them feel like they're as smart as listeners. So they take in their calmly presented rubbish. So they listen to NPR, and they think they're smarter because it's presented in a nice, soft voice like this. Well, they said it nicely, so it must be the truth. And don't forget, the guy presenting it has patches on his elbows, and that's on his suit jacket. And he has a bow tie at the same time, so it must be the truth. Some of them go as far as to march around with a tote bag they got for donating to the Sucker Fund and show them, I'm an NPR person. I like the truth. That's what these guys speak. I guess that makes sense, as these people are the same ones who think tying up Donald Trump with lawfare would take away his chances of becoming president again and strip him of a platform. Well, that hasn't worked. That's a good thing. The joke was on them. Thanks to these trials, Trump is getting loads of free airtime and a platform to speak directly to reporters, and more importantly, internet live streams, so the mainstream media can't chop up what he says and take it out of context without having the information, the live stream there where you can find the whole. This is why I love NTD News, because they do air the live streams on YouTube and their own proprietary networks as well, like Ganjing World. That you can see the entire speech, the entire event. So if you're not sure if a soundbite was taken out of context, you can hear the whole thing. But this free airtime that he gets is his campaign commercial. It's people who pay attention know what's going on. They know what's happening to Trump, and they know it can happen to a regular person who doesn't have the money to defend him or herself if he or she steps out of line in the future that the deep state and the Klaus Schwab Club want. That's right. Who's the leader of the gang that's made for the few elite? K-L-A-U-S-S-C-H-W-A-B. I like that. Who's the man the Marxists love through cultural jealousy? K-L-A-U-S-S-C-H-W-A-B. Klaus Schwab. I think you get the point. I don't think you want to hear me sing. Spread the news about AmericaOutloud.news. Get all the articles, podcasts, and pertinent news. Always the uncensored truth from a... Damn it! I'm Chris Cordeni. Straight ahead, I'm talking with Julie Bearing, the director and writer of the upcoming documentary Beneath Sheep's Clothing, The Communist Takeover of Culture in the USSR and Parallels in Today's America. That's straight ahead on Unleashed.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
Back on Unleash the Political News Hour here on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network, battling the muzzle of a censorship culture. I'm Chris Cordani behind the mic. Both the Maoist dictatorship in China and the Soviet regime needed desperately to manipulate and force their subjects to submission when they originally took over their respective nations. They also look ahead to future generations. They did so through manipulation of media, elimination of history as well. We see parallels here in the United States, and while we enjoy making fun of the left, and believe me, I enjoy it, it's great on this program, because they're always good to have around for a few laughs. They aren't looking to influence us all the time. They have their own army of useless idiots now. They're looking at the future generations, if you will, and it's a long-standing Marxist strategy, one of which we need to fight. With me now is Julie Beeling. She's the director and writer of a new documentary and a wake-up call to all of us sensible minds and many who are still sensible but really haven't seen what was going on. We hope you do. It's called Beneath Sheep's Clothing, The Communist Takeover of Culture in the USSR and Parallels in Today's America. It's based on the book of the same title and coming in May. Thank you for being here, Julie.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Welcome to Unleashed. It's important to note the communist playbook is one of both quick turnaround in some ways, that's through legislation and force, but also through a long, arduous, burdensome, yet effective long con. We're talking about over a century in the making. People don't realize that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really shocking when you first start to research it and understand that this has been going on our entire lifetimes and longer.
The Red Scare of the 1910s was no joke, but it's downplayed in American history books. I find interesting, though, the communist government media infiltration, which started to come to light in the 1930s, however, has been somewhat downplayed in some aspects, but celebrated in others by history books and media types today, Julie.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of downplay of it, or like it's like a conspiracy theory or something. But it definitely was not a conspiracy theory. And what we have today for our media and entertainment is far worse, I think, than even what they were doing back then.
That's because they didn't have a grasp and a handle of actually how to use it. They just had to infiltrate it first. Joe McCarthy was right, basically. The journalists who were covering this were laughing at it and making fun of Joe McCarthy, but he was right. And people didn't realize that until decades later. You go into all this in the documentary, Julia, even farther than what most people realize. You're saying the left has gone into churches as well.
Yeah. And well, I don't even want to say the left. I mean, communists, the churches here in America. So the whole premise for Beneath Sheep's Clothing is based on, I wrote my master's thesis on underground Christian movements in the Soviet Union and their survival tactics and the tactics of the Soviet state to try to dismantle Christianity. Then I began seeing those same tactics happening in America. And, you know, communists really can't have an alternative ideology that is popular, and Christianity is a competitive ideology for communism, so it has to go. But what they discovered, though, the communists discovered, they could not do away with Christianity completely, so they learned that they needed to infiltrate it. So after World War II, in the Soviet Union, they infiltrated the churches with KGB agents posing as clergy. In America, we actually had the infiltration of our churches beginning over a century ago with avowed communists. They would get into positions of power within the seminaries. They were funded by the big name, like Rockefeller Foundation type people that, you know, the robber barons who were taking over every institution of society. And they would go into the seminaries and they would teach up and coming clergy. They would mock any kind of like literal interpretation of the Bible, including even some of them would go so far as to say that Jesus is not literally the Son of God. What are you talking about? And they would try to push people towards, instead of a Christianity where people have a one-on-one relationship with God and work out their salvation with God, they would shuttle people towards social justice instead. And that kind of brings you for where we're at.
That's interesting, Julie, because when somebody says social justice, we know what it is today. And it has a certain connotation because we see a lot of grifters and race baiters out there. Back then, there was some social justice that was actually a good thing, obviously civil rights and things like that. So the idea was the far left, the communists, the Marxists, they appealed to the good portion of the people who were going to church and saying, this is good for you. But they realized that down the road, they could take advantage of those sentiments of goodwill and good Samaritanism to take it to the next level. They knew they weren't going to do it in their lifetime, but they had to find a way to make it happen for the future generations. This way you can take it to the extreme, like we see today.
Right. And, you know, it's hard for us, like if you're not a sociopath, like I'm not a sociopath, I assume you're not. Most people are not.
I had myself checked. That was a teacher's request, different story for a different day.
Okay. Well, I mean, I don't think in that way. Like, I don't like think in terms of like how evil plots that I can like, you know, perpetuate some agenda on into the future, even past my own lifetime. And so it can sound like a quote unquote conspiracy theory. Once again, it's not, it's totally the proof is right there in materials. There have been people fighting against this communist infiltration of churches since the 40s and 50s. There were groups of people that were opposing to it. But they got into through the National Council of Churches, and the mainline denominations of the larger churches were the easiest ones for them to infiltrate first. And there's way more, you know, they actually infiltrated the Communist Party USA at one point in, I think it was even as far back as like the 30s and 40s. They instructed their members to go back into their churches of origin and pretend to be legitimate members to try to dissuade and pull people further left. And to wreak havoc within the churches that way. We don't know what all havoc was wreaked. Like, we don't have that history. We only know that that was done. And we know a few names of some people that went in back into their churches of origin. I mean, but we had people, some of these people, Walter Rauschenbusch, he wrote a book about the six sins of social injustice that Jesus came to atone for. Not for personal sin. No, we didn't want any focus on individual sin and accountability to God, but just the six sins of social injustice. We had people, Joseph Fletcher. We had some of these guys were eugenicists. Some of these guys were part of Planned Parenthood, part of the founding of Planned Parenthood, the founding of the ACLU. One of these guys was so far left, he was an avowed communist, that the ACLU had to get rid of him because he was far left, and he was teaching in a seminary. Up and coming clergy and very prominent seminaries too.
I remember when the ACLU actually was about rights for people instead of, that was a long time ago.
So, you know, what we have going on today now, I didn't come up with this term, gain of function ideology. This is what communists have done. So we had one iteration that happened in the Soviet Union, and you see some parallels, and then China was the next major iteration, and there were some, you know, changes and shifts made there for Maoism. What in Latin America, they did the liberation theology with the Catholic priests that they got a few of them to be communists and got the Catholic priests to rile the peasants up to violently overthrow those societies. What we have with the woke Marxism and cultural Marxism in the West is another iteration, and specifically with America, the race, the critical race theory aspect has been very destructive and very effective for them.
That's the funny thing, Julie. And right now I'm talking with Julie Beeling. She's the director and writer of the new documentary, or I should say upcoming documentary, Beneath Sheep's Clothing, The Communist Takeover of Culture in the USSR and Parallels in Today's America. We're watching these wokies and the DEI types and all these people posting memes about equity and all this other garbage. This seems to me, as somebody who reads and looks at history and of course understands what's going on, and a lot of our audience is ham-fisted Okay. It looks like it's too obvious, and it's just they don't hide their bias, or they don't hide their need to just seep into the culture anymore. They're just pushing through. They're pushing through like a steamroller. Yet it looks stupid to many of us, and it looks like it's amateurish. Fact is, though, you had to dumb down a society for generations to come by eliminating their history or minimizing their history or dumbing down the entertainment value of what's coming out of Hollywood or anything else like that, and mixing the comedy and jokes and drama with some propaganda without people knowing. And this is why we see the blatant stuff today and people falling for it. This is my opinion. How far off am I here?
No, I completely agree with you. I mean, as far as the takeover of education, I mean, Alex Newman, who I interviewed in the documentary Beneath Sheep's Clothing, he makes the case that government education in America was founded by communists for the purpose of doing away with Christianity. But dumbing down America's children has definitely been a part of that. And there's been different waves of that. They were experimenting with doing away with phonics in training kids for reading. This was,
whole language. I remember that the 1990s was, let's get into this. Now we're here. Now you just opened this up for me. Whole language was a 90s phenomenon. This was after the PC invasion of the 1980s into the school districts. I know it started in the 70s. That was all the climate change and global warming garbage they were trying to pull on everybody. They're trying to put that together with don't pollute. I get that. But after the 90s, you had the whole language, invented spelling. Later on came invented math, by the way. And you had, what was it? The National Education Association was trying to dumb down the way teachers were teaching. There was a memo out there telling instructors not to use red magic marker because it hurts the feelings of students. Red pen. They had to use green pen because red meant danger or stop. And it kind of, it was
too jarring for the emotions.
Exactly. But the idea was to dumb them down. And of course, at that same time, they were drugging teenagers and little boys who were acting up in class. So some kid, 8-year-old kid is talking too much in class or jumping around, not paying enough attention, has a short attention span. They give him lithium or some kind of other drug. Hey, you know what? You're drugging boys up for being little boys.
There's so many different factors here. And then you can start going into fluoridating of the water and reducing the IQ. You can start going into all kinds of things. I mean, I'm sure you've heard the interview, and probably most of your audience, the interview with Yuri Bezmenov, the KGB agent defector from the Soviet Union. G. Edward Griffin interviewed him in 1984. And at that stage, he said that America, the first step of ideological subversion was completed where they had infiltrated the schools and trained up a generation or two of America's kids to look upon socialism and have a friendly feeling towards socialism.
Well, portrayed in a positive light at all times. That's correct. Mm-hmm. They do it now, by the way. Funny thing is, I actually had the privilege of interviewing the great comedian Yakov Smirnov, if you remember him. Fantastic comedian. He told me that the Soviet Union really does have, because he was extend up there, they do have a department of jokes where each comedian has to submit their comedy routines to the department of jokes to make sure the government approves of them. This is no joke. This is real. And it's disgusting. Because it's something that technically happens here unofficially, because you can't make a joke about certain political leanings anymore. You can't say something about certain protected classes, even if it's in jest, even if you are of that protected class in a lot of ways. We have a department of jokes within the private sector of Hollywood and the private sector of the music industry and the comedy industry now. But it was government. It was official government business when the Soviet Union existed.
I totally believe that. I mean, they were putting poets and writers to death in the gulag if they didn't praise the Soviet state as much as they were supposed to. Yeah. Or even scientists, if there were scientists that did a study and they came to the wrong conclusion that made the Soviet state look bad, they would be executed. So, and the clergy had to submit their sermons to the KGB. Of course, any comedians would have to have approval in the Soviet Union. Yeah, like when I studied Soviet history in grad school, it is ludicrous. It's absolutely, there's so many just ludicrous aspects to it. And we are definitely there here now in America with just how crazy stupid, as you already mentioned. We're like, if a few years ago, if you brought someone to where we are now to look at like all the woke stuff, I mean, it's absolutely insane. And
I thought it was insane with what we talked about the 90s, this whole invented spelling garbage. Now we have invented math. Do you realize, I think you realize this because you're the one involved in this, you know, and I believe our listeners should know this if they don't already, colleges, many of them don't require their students to write essays in essay form anymore. I was around when the essay form switched from one to another, so it was a little confusing for me, but I had to do it or else I was docked grades for not putting everything together. I did that though. But students are not, they don't have to do that anymore. They lie about, basically the lie is, well, it's a cultural thing. Basically you're trying to make people dumber. And the only way you can infiltrate a society besides using the media to portray in a positive light all the time is to make sure you lower the overall intelligence and skew the education a certain way in conjunction to create minds which will be susceptible to such garbage.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, the colleges of education, according to James Lindsay, he says this in one of my interviews with him in the film, they were captured by the communists by 1992. So, they were one of the prime targets, but the social studies were captured pretty early in the universities, but colleges of education were captured. And, but as far as like kids going to college now, I remember one of the statistics that I put in my book, I remember it was a few years ago. It was a super high number, something like 60% of kids taking the ACT, SAT, they couldn't write any writing sample that they would give would not even allow them to be able to be in college. So they really have dumbed us down. I mean, I'm glad I graduated. I'm old. I'm proud I graduated when I did. And I actually had a pretty good public education.
Mine was okay too. I know they tried to pull that whole global warming scam on us when we were kids, but I mean, that's another one, a global warming scam. It's people are so susceptible to that now because they took the concept of we should be good stewards of the planet and pick garbage up. That's the basic thing. You walk into some of these cities, it's disgusting. It's a funny thing. It's people that run and yank about climate change. They run the worst city. They run the worst, most polluted, disgusting cities in the world. Yeah. That's a little irony. And so anybody on the left who might be listening, irony is not the same as goldy and bronzy and only made of iron. That's a whole different bird. Again, that's what happens with this PC education. They don't know anything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the communists infiltrate every cause that they can. And so, you know, like, let's say the suffragette movement, and like, there was some need for there to be some feminist movement, but that was hijacked. Same thing with civil rights, very, very deeply hijacked. Environmental movement hijacked. Christian churches hijacked. Everything.
Every humanitarian cause is hijacked almost instantly nowadays, though. Before then, it was gradual. Now it's instantly. There were the three words Black Lives Matter. When you hear them for the first time, you think, wow, you know, you don't want anybody getting killed at the hands of somebody because they're black. That's not a good thing. But the socialists take over, trade them publicity, riches, and fame for the socialist influence within their community, if you will. All of a sudden, they take the goodwill from people in the beginning and twist it for nefarious purposes.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's the most of the people that are falling for these are the dupes. And I don't want to, the term useful idiot also applies, but I don't want to insult anyone. There's a lot of very good-hearted people who have fallen for, or and maybe still are falling for, these agendas that are very heavily overtaken by Marxism. We need people who are the bleeding hearts, people who want to serve the underprivileged. Every society needs people like that, when hopefully we have quite a few people like that. But what we don't need is for this to be overtaken by Marxism, where they're riling people up to overthrow the systems of power and stoking grievance. This is a red flags of Marxism, the constant stoking of grievance and victimology, and then trying to rile up the victim classes and their allies to go and tear down whatever system of oppressive power. And communism marries a truth to a lie. There's some truth in their claims. Some people have been oppressed. Some people still are being oppressed. But we need to have a divorce between the Marxism and the good agendas and the good intentions that people have.
Get all the articles, podcasts, and pertinent news, always the uncensored truth from a team of truth seekers who always put God and country first. That's AmericaOutloud.news, right here on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. Julie Beeling, writer and director of the upcoming documentary Beneath Sheep's Clothing, will be back with me straight ahead on Unleashed for more. That's Unleashed, the Political News Hour on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with Heal Right. Heal Right is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, Heal Right is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Back on Unleashed, I'm Chris Bordeni. This is Unleashed, the Political News Hour on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. With me is Julie Beeling. She's still here. I'm the director and writer of one of the great documentaries that are coming out this year. This one in May is called Beneath Sheep's Clothing, The Communist Takeover of Culture in the USSR and Parallels in Today's America. This is where you put your time and energy and your education. But there's always something new to learn. So, Julie, when you were putting this documentary together, and knowing what you know, we discussed a lot of this in the last segment, but what surprised you the most or took you aback the most that you may not have known about this whole takeover when you were doing that, when you were putting together the documentary and the book?
Yeah, definitely. And it was actually something I was about to get into earlier, and then we kind of went a different direction.
That's talking what
about,
I do.
Talking about gain of function ideology, the takeover of the churches. What we have now, what the plan is now, is not to do away with Christianity in America or the world, but it's a total co-opting. But it's not just communist co-opting. It's a World Health, World Economic Forum, UN, one world religion of diversity, equity, inclusion, and global citizenship. That is the thing that is in the works right now. And I learned about this interviewing Michael O'Fallon, who personally knew these people and worked with them for a while when he was working with some of these World Economic Forum people back in the day, until he realized what they were doing and got the heck out of Dodge. James Lindsay also and Alex Newman talking about this one world religion. And it's... what they're doing is they're going to funnel all the churches into these paths, and the churches that don't comply are going to get a heavy hand. They're going to get the surveillance. They're going to get, smeared in the news and the media. And they're going to do what they can to do away with independent Christianity and independent faith. And we've got to wake people up about this now so we can nullify this agenda, make it so it doesn't happen.
This sounds more like direct targeting of Christians, if you ask me, because I don't think there's any religion who would say it would bow down to a state in any way, shape, or form. Even in America, if you look at it, they're going after Christians, to be honest with you, because they're propping up the Islamic religion and bringing up more of that. Whereas that's a full ideology, which will tell their parishioners, no, there's no way the state's going to rule over Allah. Whatever they say, if it goes against Allah's wishes, forget it. Don't bother. You don't have to follow that. I don't see any American institution going after that, but I do see them going down on Christians. Even the government, the idea of the FBI taking an extra look at people, Catholics who prefer a Latin mass, tells you a heck of a lot.
It does. I mean, well, the Muslims are useful idiots to the communist cause because they create chaos. And right. So they have a use. But Christians, true believing Christians are one of the biggest threats to these agendas. And so, and they don't really like devout Jews either.
No, they don't. And we see that now.
They're not a huge fan of the devout Jews. Judeo-Christian ethics are a big problem for them. Because it creates too much stability, too much prosperity, too much of goodness, and they can't have that. But as far as like the church is being overtaken, the church is, this is from the interviews again that James Lindsay and Michael O'Fallon did for me in the film. The churches are still on the outside going to have the appearance of being those specific denominations. It will still look and feel. It'll just be that there's going to be inserted the climate agenda, inserted mm-hmm. diversity, equity, and inclusion. And those things will have to be promoted if those churches want to continue. That's what they said. And I'm seeing a lot of signs of that as well.
That's in the business world and, of course, the entertainment world as well. You have to spread the message or else you are persona non grata in the U.S. In China, now we talked about, obviously, that how any religion is persecuted in a communist country, and you'll see their future. Even those who are perceived as allies to the current socialist cause, they're going to be persecuted soon, too. Look what's happening in China and what happened in the Soviet Union. People were thrown in jail or executed for practicing religion, having their organs harvested. This is what's going to happen to anyone who follows anything beside the religion of the state.
Yeah, and I want to say a wake-up call to all Christians here and all Christian leaders that are co-opted knowingly or unknowingly. Like, if we don't wake up now, we are destroying our society. We're destroying the opportunity to teach people about God in the way that we believe truly. And we can't go along with this. We have to oppose these agendas at all cost. And the sooner we do it, the more chance that we have that we can actually prevail. So we need to wake up now.
I had the privilege of talking with Tiffany Meyer. She's from NTD News Network. She produced a new documentary, but she produces a lot of things. She's the host of China in Focus. She produced a new documentary about the Chinese influence or the Chinese communist influence in entertainment today. But we've always had it was easier for the Chinese commies to get in there because we've always had a far left Marxist influence in that particular portion of our culture. But again, like you were discussing in the documentary, they didn't do this by moving people out and in inside of 5 years. They did this. It took three or four generations to become full-fledged Marxist communists like they are now and open about it.
Yeah. And they're not even hiding. Like you mentioned, it's out in the open because it's, they're rushing to the finish line. It's a rush to see, like, is there going to be a great awakening of the people who will then say, no, we're not doing this? Or are they going to get to their finish line first and have us enslaved before enough of us wake up? That's what the race is here.
There are two finish lines I see. The one is 2030. That's the new Agenda 2030 that used to be Agenda 21. For the last many years, you heard in 2020 and 2021, you heard, oh, we have 9 years left to get this done. But we have to get these green agenda things done in 9 years. And then all of a sudden we're saying we see 2030, 2032 as deadlines for some EV mandate or things like that. What I'm seeing, though, is this rush has now it's at the time of our discussion, it is April. So we're looking at a 7-month, maybe 8-month window for these people. What's happening now is there's been a right turn in the world, much similar to the one in 2016. But now we see Trump coming back in America. We saw a longstanding leftist institution known as Argentina vote a guy who will tear them down. You have a right turn in Eastern Europe because of the way the EU is acting and pulling in or pulling in their policy. You're going to see a lot more of this. You're going to see people who are not leftist winning parliament seats in mainland or Western Europe, if you will. You might see a little more of that in Canada. We're not sure about that yet, but that's what we're seeing: a right turn in certain areas of the world, which were normally or over the years infiltrated and dominated by the left.
Right, and we need much more of that as soon as possible because, again, they have essentially infinite funding. These, you know, globalist Marxists, and they own a lot of the infrastructure now. So, but we are the people. We can wake up our neighbors, our friends, our family, and it's my goal that Beneath Sheep's Clothing will be able to be a tool that will help wake up people. So even for people who are aware of these agendas, this is something that you can share with family and friends to help them to wake up. And it's been a work in progress for me. I wrote my thesis, worked on my master's thesis. It's been 20 years ago. So it's been 22 years since I started this research. And I'm amazed that now this documentary is coming out. Again, I hope that it will be a tool to help wake people up in time.
And we will. And where can our listeners find more out about your documentary, Julie?
Yeah, people can go to beneathsheepsclothing.movie and watch the trailer. You can pre-order tickets. The movie will be available to stream on our website, beneathsheepsclothing.movie, starting May 23rd. And also it will be available on Rumble for pay-per-view. You can go to beneathsheepsclothing.movie and get on our newsletter list, and we'll send you an update periodically as well. So you can, make sure that you catch it when it comes out.
That's beneathsheepsclothing.movie. Julie, one more thing, a message out there to the people who are allowing these statues to be torn down and these city council people who are enjoying the idea of replacing old history with new figures that they want people to worship. And worse yet, taking down or finding an opportunity to replace nice, older, fine architecture buildings that are built by fine architects with fine architecture, if you will. I know I'm repeating those words, but I think we understand where I'm going here. And replacing them with more boxy, modern looks. These are other ways history is being eliminated and things are being, they're being dumbed down, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, the majority of people who spread communism in America don't know that's what they're doing. And so those people are being used as tools. So to understand a quick lesson on the pyramid of Marxist enablers in America and the West. The top is the money bags, puppet masters, and that's like the super elite. They're not communists themselves, but they're funding this because it helps them to consolidate their power. Communism creates a maximum consolidation of power. Next level down is the avowed communists. Then you have the fellow travelers. Those are the leftist progressives. They don't think they're communists, but they're helping the communist cause. Then the dupes, people who fall for these agendas because it sounds nice. We are enabling, I'm hopefully not one of them, but the dupes are enabling those agendas massively. I say there's level one dupes. The level two dupes are the people who know that something's wrong, but they're scared to speak up about it. They don't want to lose their job or be seen as a conspiracy theorist. We need to wake up as many of the level one, level two dupes as possible. And hopefully some of the fellow travelers, the progressives, can be also made to be seen what they're doing is spreading communism.
It would be nice, I'll tell you that. But another thing is creating these documentaries and making sure they're available to generations beyond this one. Just like the left did back then, it's time to seep back into these areas. It's time to make sure that we have people who are teaching younger people. And this is where the advent of homeschooling has come from. Parents are seeing what's going on. They're saying, I don't want to have my kids indoctrinated. I want my kids to have a good education, go to college, and not to a diploma mill, by the way. And take activist studies. That's another thing we can get into for a whole show, but that's a different story. And I want to see my kids succeed, but I don't want to see them hating me when they get home from high school or college.
Absolutely. And that's one of the we need to protect our kids. I have a 9-year-old son who I homeschool, and it's not easy, but we have to protect our kids from this indoctrination. At the very least, every parent needs to become intimately aware of these agendas, and they need to teach and tell their children how to recognize these agendas so that they can be inoculated against them in some way.
Thank you once again for being with me, Julie. And again, that's Julie Bearing. She is the director and writer of the documentary Beneath Sheep's Clothing. And you can find that and more information about it on beneathsheepsclothing.movie. Another thing, and you see it here, of course, as far as control of our cultural institutions, the left in America controls the language. They create these new annoying buzz terms. They change definitions. They concoct new isms to suit their cause du jour. Or should I say cause of the day? Because when I say du jour, it implies that, well, that French-sounding word implies class to this whole thing. There's no class here. And they control, like school in the summer. Well, anyway, they control the Associated Press style book as well. That's the standard for journalists' report composition. And it's the way you hear reports throughout the spectrum. Yes, even Fox News does the same thing. For those of you who think they're the conservative standard, I'll tell you this. I'm not for any real biased news source, if you will, but we still have to watch the control of the language when it comes from the left. It's time for us to make some changes to the lexicon ourselves. We should turn back the left's devolution. That's right, it's not evolution, it's devolution. If any of them are listening, that means, by the way, dumbing down. Okay, got that? Devolution of the English language. With the time we have left, let's first go back to using the term illegal alien. It's like the Dems think they got rid of the nation's illegals and replaced them with undocumented immigrants. Now, hold on. Are they saying, seriously, these people, their policies allowed in are without papers? They should check their PC guidebook on that one. But perhaps they did, because the undocumented immigrants were tossed out in favor of the new influx of migrants, which apparently to the Biden administration have become undocumented non-citizens. The continued softening of the language is designed to allow the Biden handlers to sneak in citizenship for these illegal aliens here. Don't let it happen. The idea is to skew the election in their favor. They're already trying to skew the population, the census, in their favor by throwing these many, let's say, undocumented aliens or illegal aliens. I'm going to call it illegal aliens, like I said, into districts to give extra congressional seats. Steal some from other districts, by the way, to blue areas. We'll get to that. But we can get to that for the next many years to come. But that's a different, that's sort of a different story for a different day, but it's a good story for now as we look at other words we need to change. Let's also get rid of that outdated homophobe and Islamophobe. It's the nuanced way to label those who question the so-called religion of peace through its own guidebook or the alphabet agenda. Yeah, it's been old, but they add phobe to everything. Anything they don't want you to talk about, they add phobe to it. The idea is to, like in the playground, if you challenge an agenda, they're going to call you a chicken and say, what are you afraid of? I'm afraid I'm going to punch you in the mouth if you try to pull that on me again. That's what I'm afraid of. But their idea is to immobilize in thought someone by telling them that they're afraid of something when they're not. The creators of this knew it triggers one's inner need to not be a coward. Well, I guess that doesn't work on the left, but that's a different story again. Having said that, perhaps if that kind of thing is here to stay, we should throw it back at them. In conversation, they start calling you some kind of phobe. Well, these people are liberty phobes. How about Christian phobes? Christophobes. How about that? Christ phobes. History phobes. Logic phobes. Fact fearful. And red baseball cap phobes. That's what they are. Another word that needs to go. This is an annoying one. Microaggression. Since most of the world uses the metric system, let's put that in perspective. Micro is 1/1,000,000th of a unit. Therefore, again, by that logic, microaggression is 1/1,000,000th of an aggression. I don't care. Go micromanage your own speech, morons. Perhaps they could use 1/1,000,000th of a knuckle sandwich. These words, these terms, come from the same people who gave us minor attracted persons and plant-based meats and trigger warning. Well, those are puke-inducing words, trigger warning. Seriously, Why were those people given the mantle of the language standard bearers anyway? Was this something Klaus Schwab or George Soros commissioned to keep people dumb and create more, as World Economic Forum agenda setter Yuval Noah Harari put it, useless eaters? Probably. And let's get to woke. Merriam-Webster, no stranger to lefty lunacy, you'll see them changing definitions as needed, took part in the devolution of our language. They defined woke as, get this, aware of and actively attentive to important facts and issues. In truth, it's the opposite. No, woke, and we know this, but I have to explain it to some people, woke is not enlightened. It's truly not attentive to facts, but rather ignorant of them. We did a fairly good job of turning it into a pejorative, so let's keep that up, okay? Let's keep the good job we're doing. And while we're at it, let's do away with this annoying trend of dubbing people with three names with their initials, as their initials. It was okay for the first couple of times with JFK and RFK and maybe even FDR if you wanted to go that far. But it offers a truly undue parallel to the John F. Kennedy and Robert F. Kennedy when we call, or when the media calls Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez AOC. She's not a famous rapper either, so that's a no as well. Such comparisons are deliberate by the media to portray an image in order to sway the gullible, or give them a celebrity, or an undue a raised status as a legislator. Believe me, if you heard anything come out of this woman's mouth on a regular basis, you'd just ignore her. Or is it just because they're lazy? Either way, don't do it. And do I need to go on about the pronouns thing? Okay, I don't adhere to this garbage. But I will say I don't mind them being here. And this is the reason. All right, you know, don't turn the dial or click me off or anything like that. When people put their preferred pronouns on social media or include them on their resumes, they actually serve well. They're clear signals that they're people to be avoided, both in life and not invited to interviews for a job. So that's a good thing. That's why I'm never going to call somebody a Z or refer to an individual in the plural. But I do appreciate them providing their pronouns as a warning sign. I want to thank my guest, Julie Beeling, for being with me. She's the director and writer of the documentary Beneath Sheep's Clothing, The Communist Takeover of Culture in the USSR and Parallels in Today's America. That's coming in May. I want to thank all of you for listening. Find me on X at Chris Cordani 1. That's at Chris Cordani 1. Again, I'm Chris Cordani. Thanks for being with me. Let's unleash the truth.